Part of what we want to do today is celebrate the memory of Jackie Robinson. Raf and I have been doing this going back, God, about 10 or 12 years. We did it every April 15th when Dusty was here. So that'll tell you how far back we went. It was about 2002 at least, maybe before that. We always did a very special show on April the 15th. Part of making this happen was the courageous fortitude, I'll say, of the commissioner of baseball. And that was A.B. Happy Chandler, who was from Kentucky. And he was a former governor of Kentucky, a former senator of Kentucky. And he became baseball commissioner during 1945. Now, don't forget, Jackie Robinson was then signed over the winter, right around that period of time of 1945. And he went to Montreal in 1946. So they had to present that contract eventually to the major league owners. And, of course, Branch Rickey was the lone person saying that he wanted Jackie Robinson to be in the big leagues. But Happy Chandler, who was the commissioner in those days, said, nope, I'm going to stand up and he is going into the big leagues. And that's just the way it's going to be. In those days, the commissioner was not really owned by the owners. And Happy Chandler became commissioner when Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis died in the winter of 1944. Now, you got to think back. Now, Landis became the commissioner, what, about 1920 till 1944, and he ruled with an iron hand. Whatever he said went. He was a former federal judge, and he only took the job when Major League Baseball assured him that there would be no recourse. Whatever he said was it. Now, when Happy Chandler became the commissioner, they softened that a little bit. They were never going to give up that much power again. But Judge Landis would never permit a player of color to be on a major league field. So it was only after he died in 1944 that this scenario could even be put into play. As I tell people, in 1943, the Phillies were going to be sold. William Cox was the owner of the Phillies, and this is during the war years, and he owned the Phillies, and he liked to bet on his team. Well, Bucky Harris was the manager of the Phillies, and he didn't like William Cox. So Bucky Harris said, you know what? William Cox bets on the Phillies. And Landis heard that, and the next thing you knew, William Cox had to sell the team. So he was going to sell it to Bill Veeck. Yes, Bill Veeck, the exploding scoreboard, the midget, the whole deal, Bill Veeck. And Bill Veeck told Landis, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in Negro League players, because we had all the four Fs playing and young people. Oh, it was like the bald men against the fat men at a company picnic when you got to baseball, you know, in 43, 44. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. And Landis said, I don't think so. And he would not sell the Phillies to Veeck. And they instead went to the Carpenter family and of the DuPont fortune. And then they started signing Robin Roberts and Kurt Simmons, and the Phillies' fortunes turned around. Well, Landis died. And now baseball had to come up with a new commissioner. And the issue during the war in those times that there was no All-Star game in 1945. The World Series was in doubt. The war was still going on. And you think back, you know, when after D-Day and the invasion of Europe and things like that, the war turned a little bit. But prior to that, this was a very, very tough time for the United States, for so many people overseas in the Pacific and in Europe. So baseball was run by Landis, and now the war was coming to an end. They kind of could feel this, but they needed manpower, and they threatened to take the 4F people and say, look, if you're 4F, which meant you couldn't qualify medically, that we're still going to give you a job in a factory or something like that. And if you're able to work in a factory, we're going to do that. So they basically were threatening to shut down baseball in 1945. Now, Landis is gone. So at that point, Ford C. Frick, who was the president of the National League, went to Washington. You couldn't get near Roosevelt at that time because he was up to his elbows in war stuff. And he negotiated with the Army resource people to allow the 4Fs and the older people and younger people to still play baseball. So they needed a new commissioner. And Frick said, I want to be the commissioner. Well, baseball saw the end of the war coming. And they saw what was going to happen at the end of the war, and that baseball was not going to be run by an in-house man. Landis was a Civil War kind of guy. His father lost his leg at Kennesaw Mountain That's what he named his kid, Kennesaw Mountain Landis. So he had all these Civil War ties and 1800 kind of ties. And baseball said, no, Gillette's going to sponsor the World Series. We're going to make money. It's going to be a golden year of baseball. All the players are coming back. And they wanted someone who could deal with Washington and deal with the United States. So that's how Happy Chandler became the commissioner of baseball. Fort C. Frick was very upset because he wanted to be the commissioner of baseball. So he stayed as the National League president. So Chandler now is the commissioner of baseball. The war ends. And now Branch Rickey says, I want to sign Jackie Robinson. And Chandler is in his corner. So part of this whole Jackie Robinson story was Happy Chandler being the commissioner of baseball, the most unlikely guy. He loved baseball. He played baseball. He loved it. But he was from Kentucky, and that was a southern state. And he stood up for Jackie Robinson and made it happen. Chandler stayed as commissioner until 1951, until the owners got fed up with him. And they said he wanted a new contract. They said, we don't think so. And he was then knocked out as commissioner of baseball. So who was the commissioner of baseball after Chandler was knocked out? Ford C. Frick. That's when he became commissioner of baseball. He was Babe Ruth's ghostwriter. He didn't like the Maris home run record. And Ford C. Frick became the commissioner of baseball in 1951. We are lucky enough, and Raff and I came up with this courtesy of Sharon Jones, a wonderful baseball executive from years ago with the A's. And it's a discussion of what happened through the eyes of Happy Chandler and the voice of Happy Chandler telling what happened with Jackie Robinson being signed and why it happened. And in it's a classic. It's the best audio you ever want to hear. So we're going to play it now, and it puts everything into perspective as what happened during that period of time, because it doesn't happen without this man. So Happy Chandler, why at this date are you telling this story?
Because of a request of my friend Joe Morgan, who's one of the great Major League Baseball players of all time, and he wants me to tell you the story of how Jackie Robinson came to be the first black to be entered into as a Major League Baseball player in 1947. I remember the story very well. My predecessor was Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis, and for 24 years, he refused to let the black boys play. If you were black, you were automatically disqualified. The judge went further than that. He wouldn't even let the black boys and the white boys barnstorm together after the season was over. And indeed, in 1954, the year before he died, Rick Roberts and some of the colored reporters from Pittsburgh Courier went to see him a final time, and he said to them, everything's been said about this, it's going to be said. The answer is no. Now, I do not wish to be too harsh with the judge for his having made that decision, because he was doing at the moment what the major league club owners wanted him to do. They wanted him to keep baseball segregated and totally white. In 1947, the major league club owners anticipated that Branch Rickey of the Brooklyn Dodgers might want to bring Jackie Robinson from Montreal to Brooklyn. And they held a meeting at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York. I presided over the meeting and announced the final vote. They discussed the Jackie Robinson situation for a couple hours and finally took a vote. The vote was 15-1 not to let Robinson play in the major leagues. Well, as soon as that meeting was over, Mr. Rickey called me by telephone and asked me if he could come to Kentucky to visit with me, because he said it was urgent and he wanted to talk to me about the Jackie Robinson situation. So he came down to my place in Woodford County at the cabin on the backside of my place, and for 2 hours we talked about the Jackie Robinson case. Mr. Rickey said, of course, Commissioner, I can't move this fella unless I have your complete cooperation and support. And I said, I know that, Mr. Rickey. I said, if Judge Landis were the commissioner, you couldn't ask him, and if you did ask him, the answer would be no. Now, I said, I was on the Senate Military Affairs Committee all during the Second World War, and I had an opportunity to observe white men and red men and yellow men and black men in the atolls of the Pacific and in the battlefields of the world, offering to fight and die for the freedom of mankind. And then when they came home, they were told that because of their color, they couldn't play baseball, the national pastime, American baseball. I said, I don't think that's just. I don't think it's fair. And I don't think it's decent. And I think it ought to be stopped. And I'm prepared to stand by you if you decide to bring this boy from Montreal to Brooklyn. And you bring him in, and I'll approve of the transfer of his contract. And remember, Joe, I was the only fellow on earth that could approve the transfer of that contract from Montreal to Brooklyn. I had my John DeMoise, one of my special aides, and Dick Butler, who later was head of the umpires, the staff of umpires for the American League for 25 years. I had them monitor every game Jackie Robinson played in, not for any reason except to see to it that he got fair treatment. They asked me how we were going to treat him, and I said, no better, no worse. Don't give him anything. Don't take anything away from him. But I said, we're going to see to it that this thing is of not allowing a boy to play because of his color. We're going to see that that's ended. And, of course, some of the Southern boys, I remember Dixie Walker said he wasn't going to play with him. He's going to paint his house. And Ben Chapman said when he came to Philadelphia, he'd make trouble for him. I sent Ben a telegram. I said, if you make trouble for him, I'll make trouble for you. So Ben decided that discretion was the better part of valor, and he didn't make any trouble for him. And Dixie finally said that he finally decided to play. And they said, how are you going to treat this boy? And I said, no better, no worse. Just treat him like another ball player. And we monitored every game he played in that year. And I thought we got along fairly well with very little difficulty. And, of course, that was a monumental decision. And that was something that hadn't been done during the 24 years of my predecessor, and something that the club owners, by a vote of 15-1, did not want to take place in 1947. And, of course, Satchel Paige told me if I'd have been the commissioner, he'd have won 30 games for 30 years. And, of course, as the years have passed and other outstanding black fellows like you, Joe Morgan, and like Don Newcomb, and like McCovey, and all the others have proven that they had outstanding talent. And one of my chief regrets has been that my friend Josh Gibson never was able to play. He died before they ever gave him a chance to play because he was one of the outstanding catchers of all time. I want to join with you, Joe, and all your associates in paying tribute to the outstanding contributions that the black men have made to American baseball, and how I'm sure now that that's something that ought to be done long ago, but I'm delighted that I had the opportunity to approve of the contract, the transfer of that contract from Montreal to Brooklyn. Every good wish to you, Joe, and God bless you all.
All right, that is Happy Chandler, and this was something that he made for Joe Morgan for one of the events that Joe did, and I came upon it, and I thought it's the perfect way to show the tribute to Jackie Robinson and what had to take place to make it happen. Happy Chandler became a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1982, but you just listen to him and just imagine what was going on in 1945 and 1946 when that contract had to be approved and how to get Jackie Robinson through that first season. Bonte, what do you think?
Dude, that was awesome stuff, man. Me and Raph and Matt Leland were in here just talking, like, just diving into the history books. And
it's great.
This is just good stuff.
You know, and that's what this April 15th is all about. And it opened the door to, we have more to talk about with Philippe Alou and the Latin Bill of Rights. And so much happened after that, but it all started with Jackie Robinson and Happy Chandler and Branch Rickey, and everyone had to work together to make it happen. So I'm glad to do it every year, and I think I appreciate having that that piece of audio from Sharon Jones. It was very nice of her to do that. All right.